in the clash on Sunday, you crash with Jimmy. Do you think it had some effect that the new Camaro played a role?
I don't know. I was just talking to Jimmy about that a little bit, and we still don't really know. So we'll see. You know, I think it's still so early with the bodies, but then again, the rules package as well. So for Super Speedway, so I don't know if it's just the way that his setup was or my setup was where it got him turned sideways. But I know for a fact that we're working on, you know, my setup stuff to make my car handle better, and hopefully that make me allow me to push people a little easier too.
Kyle, NASCAR has so much to promote, you know, the other 25 guys like yourself. Does that in any way create even any modest amount of extra pressure for you? You know, obviously NASCAR is looking to fill a marketing void because of the departures of the legends that are going out. Any extra burden for you to fill that?
No, not really. I mean, I don't honestly pay attention to it a whole lot. I would say maybe the other guys that get promoted even more than I do, maybe there's more pressure on them, but I'm just a race car driver going out there to try and win the race, not really worried about all the other stuff. So I'm worried about my job on, you know, Saturdays and Sundays.
How does it feel to be on the very short list of championship favorites? If you ask anybody, polled anybody, you're coming into this year with a sort of a different view on.
Well, yeah, this is a different media day than normal, just because normally, I mean, this is the first year I've been considered a championship favorite from, you know, day one. So where last year we showed people that we could be a contender, where now this year, you know, people are pointing and looking at us to that we could potentially, you know, be a championship favorite. So that's cool, and definitely somewhere I've always wanted to be in my NASCAR career is to be a contender every week. So we still have to get the season started, though. You never know how you're going to be until really get through Daytona and get through the first month. But it is neat to be considered one of the favorites already.
Have your media day duties changed because of this? Or is it the same old cattle?
I feel like media day is different this year because we have less stuff to do. So it doesn't have anything to do with us being fast or whatever. But, no, it's been a fun media day, though.
But, I mean, it hasn't changed
duties. No. No, just a couple extra questions about being a favorite.
Kyle, you actually had your best season in Cup last year, but as you look back on how it ended, are there things that you hope that you guys can do better this year, or things that you thought you didn't handle as well as maybe you thought you should have?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You can only handle a blown engine so well, but I don't know. I think in the two races I wrecked, yeah, I could have done things differently, but I couldn't do anything about blowing up at Kansas, so which really ended our season. So I don't know. I think you just go out there and keep doing what you did to put yourself in the position to be contenders every week. So you know, I felt like I learned a lot throughout the season as far as, you know, contending for wins and in late race restarts and things like that. So hopefully when I put myself in those positions again in the future, I can be better prepared even than I was, you know, beginning part of last season. So all of us are getting better and better every week. You know, you can look at Kyle Busch, who's to my left, and, you know, he's won so many races, and he's getting better every week. So we all just learn and adapt. I think our team's really, really good at adapting. You know, we have the new body, and yeah, we haven't raced yet, but I felt like when we went to Vegas a few weeks ago to test, we were strong. So I think, and even in, you look at years past when, you know, NASCAR would throw a rules change at us, you know, say for Darlington or whatever, and we'd have small spoiler, different splitter and stuff like that. You know, back when we were just an average team, we would always be better at those races. So I feel like our team's great at adapting, and you know, I think that they'll adapt quickly with this new Camaro.
What would it mean for you to come out of here this weekend as the Daytona 500 champion?
Oh, it'd be awesome. You know, anytime you can start your year off strong at, you know, the first race of the season is a big deal. And we were close last year to being the Daytona 500 winner and ran out of fuel and came short. But, yeah, if we could put ourselves in position again and you know, win the biggest race of our year, that'd be amazing. And to leave here as a point leader would always be a good thing.
With what happened last year, did you kind of turn that around and feel more encouraged because you were so close, or did it take a couple weeks to get over the disappointment, obviously, as well?
I don't even remember. I just remember being disappointed about, you know, losing the race, but also at the same time I was happy that, you know, I got to see the white flag as a leader at the Daytona 500. Was a cool experience. So obviously I want to see the checkered flag first someday, but it was still cool to feel like, yo, I can do it. Because super speedway racing is so different than, you know, anything that any of us grew up doing, but especially for me, you know, coming from a sprint car background and, you know, never even a flat cart background where I did any drafting. I never drafted anything until 2013. So it's been an area that I've struggled at, and, you know, I've gotten better each time. But to feel like I was going to win was cool.
Do you already know how many sprint car races you've lined up this year?
I'll probably race 25 to 30 times or so this year, give or take a couple. Depends on weather and, you know, the baby coming in May and stuff. You never know how busy I'm going to get. No, I don't think about it at all. I'm pretty good at forgetting things, I guess. So, in a good way. And, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, I was bummed out after Kansas for, still am, you know, if I think about it, but I don't think about it, so I don't get too bummed out. I was kind of over it, you know, a couple days later and moved on and ready to go win the race the next weekend. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can really do about a blown engine. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't anybody on our team's fault. So it just happens and move on from it.
Does it help that you do race so much to kind of get past a bad week here or there? Because you race more than most guys, so you're not sitting around for months thinking about something.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I have a lot to always look forward to, or another race at least to look forward to. That helps getting over it. You know, I still don't race as much as I used to. I ran like 70 races last year, and I ran 130 in 2012. So I could do a whole lot more, but it is always nice, at least in the sprint car stuff. I remember it being a good thing. You know, if you have a bad race, you know you're racing the next day. Where stock cars, you know, if I have a bad race, you know, I have to wait a whole week, which kind of kills you, but so does everybody else. I see a handful more women racers, but I feel like we, at least when Danica was racing full-time, we definitely saw a lot more young girls at the racetrack, which is huge for our sport and you know, very, very important to have young kids, but especially young girls at the racetrack. So she was a great ambassador, or is a great ambassador, to racing and pop culture and all that. So it'll be, I guess, sad to see her racing career end, but she's going to be more involved in other stuff now. I think that she's not racing, that she's going to make an even bigger impact on whatever you want to call it, life or whatever.
I know that you're here for Speed Weeks and obviously the 500, but I see that you are with your family at Disney World. What are some of the things that you're enjoying outside of racing while you're here with your family?
Yeah, well, there is a lot of racing that you can catch while in Daytona for 2 weeks. You know, I was at Volusia for 6 days last week, racing and watching, and then here at Daytona for the Clash and qualifying. But then we spent Monday and Tuesday at Disney World, which was fun, with the Boyers, and Ricky Stenhouse came with us. So, you know, Owen and Cash are 3 months apart in age, so they're best buddies, and they're like brothers. It's funny to watch them, but... Disney World was a great time. The only way to do it with kids, I feel like, is the VIP tour. So we did the VIP tour, a little expensive, but we got to see every park in two days. You know, that's kind of unheard of. So it was fun. Owen enjoyed it. He missed breakfast Monday morning, so he was kind of a crab Monday, but Tuesday he was good.
Was that his first time?
Probably that he'll somewhat remember. We took him to Disney World when he was a few months old, but he's been to Disneyland a couple times, and He's really into the Disney movies, so you know, he was super pumped to meet Woody and Buzz, and he asked Woody where the snake in his boot was, and it was funny. You know, Buzz and Woody, they can't talk, but they're like acting it out, like oh, where's the boot, whatever. But so Owen enjoyed seeing the characters a lot, and then you're riding a handful of the rides. Yeah, for sure. It's always nice to decompress and get away from racing here and there. But, you know, now that we're done with Disney World, I'm focused on racing and trying to figure out what we need to do to be better. Yeah, you know, I mean, I didn't really get a good feel for the pit stop stuff because we took a long time on our pit stops anyways to make adjustments and, you know, throw things at our car to get better. So, once we get into competition, I don't know. We'll just see, you know. I think the pit gun stuff, it'd be nice to have your own equipment, but at the same time, everybody's got the same stuff. So it is what it is, and we'll see how it goes.
All the drivers have said that. Martin said it felt like he was in the pits for a minute.
Yeah.
And it really is a big unknown.
It sounds way different. I know, like, you can... In the past, and we'll be able to time it in the, you know, as we get more reps and stuff. But the way it was, you know, you could time it pretty well. You know, it's all happening so fast, but you can hear the sound of the gun and time it. Where now you still hear it, but it's way slower. So or it might only be a couple seconds slower, or a few seconds slower, but it feels like an eternity in the car. So yeah, that part of it's interesting. Yeah, no doubt. I watch a lot of film of restarts and pit stops and, you know, race lines and stuff like that, or go over, you know, my notes from previous tracks and driver data, stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff that you can prepare yourself with to refresh your mind to get you ready for the racetrack that you're going to. So yeah, film and preparation is a big deal. Both. You know, I look at any time, you know, I fast forward through race, you know, I always stop and hit play when, you know, I see my car or restarts, or if they're showing somebody that was really fast, you know, what they were doing on the racetrack, stuff like that. So I would say I watch myself the most, but I definitely study the other people as well. Yeah, it was the car felt like just like out of the track, you know, like not a lot of grip. The air was kind of moving me around wherever it wanted to. There wasn't really much I felt like I could do. I was happy we got in line single file so I could just relax, and I was still on it. I still felt like I was in a spin out every time I went into the corner. It's just a sketchy feeling when you're going 200 miles an hour and you got a line of cars behind you that are there ready for you to crash and run into you. So, yeah, hopefully we can get our car driving better.
So how do you look at the duel tomorrow night? Obviously, it's a different car. What are things that you're going to want to do, even as you essentially protect your car, too? But, I mean, there's still a lot of learning out there right now.
Yeah, yeah. Talking to my crew chief a little bit, you know, before the duels, you know, our duels, we kind of had a duel set up and something different for the, or yeah, class set up and then something different for the duels. So hopefully, with it being impound, you know, and not a lot of laps, you kind of have to do that. So, and I don't know if other people did that, but so hopefully the duels setup's a little bit better and we have more grip. I don't really expect it to be too much different, but we'll see, you know. And it's nice, you know, after the clash that our guys had a few days off to kind of go back to the shop and think about things that they could do different, or even build stuff that they could bring to the track to put on the car after the duels to make it better. So we'll see. I don't know what to expect, but I hope we're better.
And it's good to know that the non-charter guys, they're already in the race because it's just 40-man race. There won't be any accidents. You got to look
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I always feel like those guys in the past are fairly smart anyways, because they're not aggressive until the very end anyways, because, I mean, if they crash halfway through the duels, you know, their opportunity is done. So I feel like they're always very cautious anyways until the last couple laps. And they're you know, they're usually right around each other. You race for that final spot in the back of the pack at the duels. So it doesn't really affect the duels at all, I don't think. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess there is bonus points in the duels, isn't there? Yeah, I didn't think about that. So, yeah, it makes it more aggressive.
You haven't won a plate race, but you're one of those guys that a lot of people look at and say you're really pretty good in restricted plate races. You're consistent. When you look at the guys who are running up front consistently, Brad, Joey, Danny, what do you take away from what they're doing that you need to apply or should apply?
Well, I feel like watching them, they're obviously really good, but their cars handle good enough for them to be aggressive and blocking lanes and things like that. Where I feel like my car, especially this past week and then even, you know, last year, it's hard to make those quick moves because my car feels so on edge. But you definitely see the same guys up front, you know, every plate race. So you know, it shows that you have to be a good driver to contend for plate race wins, and those guys definitely do it. Well, I think my first year, for sure, probably some of the second year, I was, you know, really aggressive and always trying to, like, run in the top lane and run in the middle lane just to try and always get runs, where I feel like I'm to the point now where I feel better just running in the bottom lane, feel like it's less stressful down there. You typically miss more wrecks down there, knock on wood. And I feel like since I've done that and just not really been that aggressive, I've been in contention more at the end of the races. So that'll be my plan again, just to relax.
Kyle, back before you got into Cup, they had the tandem racing, and during that they had a dial where they could talk to other drivers on the radio during the race. Would you ever be interested in having a situation during, like, fall races, hearts, or whatever, where you could, like, punch in another driver's number and, like, yell at them during the race or anything?
No. I wouldn't like that. Maybe if you could, like, phone call in and they could, like, ignore or decline your request, maybe. But, yeah, I don't know. That'd be kind of – I wasn't around for the radio. I think I got here, like, the year after you could do that. But for plate races, I think it'd be okay because you're working with that guy. But who knows? Someday maybe they'll do that because it'll be good for media. I would say I'm more leaning towards that side of it. You know, I don't know. But then again, it doesn't really matter. Like, I get to look at Jimmy Johnson, and I got to look at Jeff Gordon and Chase Elliott at Martinsville, and I still suck at Martinsville. So, but then, you know, also, like, I'm really good at Homestead, and I don't really want a bunch of people looking at my stuff there. But I think you're still at the mercy of how your car handles, you know. Somebody might be able to look at my stuff and be like, man, he's carrying so much more throttle than me into the corner. Well, you know, my car might be handling a lot better than theirs, and, you know, they can try it, and it doesn't work for them. So it is what it is, I guess, but I don't know. I think it's cool for the fans to be able to see it, and cool for the guys in the booth, you know, that have experience, Jeff Gordon and, you know, Steve Letarte, those type of people that can – really break it down and explain to the fans what this guy is doing and look at the data and be like, okay, he must be struggling with this, is why he's using this much brake pressure at this point in the corner. I think the fans will be a lot more knowledgeable once they learn about it and look at it on the TV.
Like at Martinsville, for example, can you look at another driver's braking points and how they're doing it? Can you take that and say, this is what I need to do? Is it really something that's so easy to apply, or is it there's so many other factors involved?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many factors, and, like, for myself at Martinsville, like, just looking at Chase's stuff, like, he uses a lot less brake pressure than I do, but if I do that, I go way slower, so you, he might have a different brake package set up than I do, which allows him to use less brake. And, you know, the way he, or, you know, how quick he can get to the gas, you know, if I try that, you know, it might not work for me. So everybody's car is different and everybody's car reacts different. So, yeah, I don't know. You can learn more often times than not, but there's still those moments where if your car's not driving like theirs, you can't do what they're doing. Hang on. We had a lot of bonus points, a lot more than other people last year, but you just go out there and race. I mean, you're not going to be like, I'm going to pick this race. I'm going to win both stages in the race. Like, you just, we were up front a lot of it. We knew how important stage wins were and race wins were, and we had the second most points going into the playoffs. So, yeah, they're just as important as we were last year, and it just, if your car is fast enough, you can gain those points. Yeah, I mean, I still would prefer not to be able to look at other people's stuff or have people look at my stuff. I think there's the guys, you know, Austin Dillon's a big fan of it, and I think he probably views it as, you know, he can learn a lot off of it. You know, but then again, it might be I don't know. It could go a lot of ways. You know, I think, you know, if I looked at Kyle Busch's data and I'm like, I run in the corner further than him, I get back to the ass sooner than him, and he's got more RPM at the end of the straightaway than I would, I think it's going to make me disappointed, or vice versa. You know, him might be disappointed in his engine or whatever, and then somebody will go to NASCAR, and then our stuff will be even more similar, and the cars will just get more similar and more similar, and it'll be harder and harder to pass. So I would rather all of us grew up seeing zero data. I would prefer it be that way, but we're going to live with it. It'll be fine. Same guys are going to win. Same guys are going to run up front. It'll be fine. Every track.